Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
To turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. This afternoon, this evening, we conclude our series in Titus. Titus 3, we will be considering the whole chapter. It reads as follows. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way, see that they lack nothing. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Let us pray. Lord, we have raised our voices in song in faith that our God is not only worthy to be praised, but also he hears our praise. He is glorified in our praise. And so, Lord, even so, in faith, we open our Bibles in faith that our God yet speaks to us. Please, O Lord, speak. Be glorified even in this. Be glorified. Though I may be weak and inadequate, but speak, this is your truth. Be glorified in this time, I pray. Amen. I want to start this evening and also conclude our time in Titus, by appreciating some of what we have learned just thus far. Some of the things that have stood out to me, and I hope some of the things that I've been able to communicate effectively to you in the last few weeks. Titus, this is in chapter 1, Titus, establish elders in the local church. Titus, structure in the local church serves a purpose. When opposition arises, when there are those who are insubordinate, when there are empty talkers and deceivers, when these people appear, It is God, through the structure of the local church, that protects his sheep. God is at work in that. Titus, not only that, but also teach. Titus, preach. Titus, exhort. Titus, rebuke. Titus, give these instructions to specific people in the church, to the old, to the young, to the women, to the men, to the slaves, the bondservants. Give these instructions. Titus, God works through you when you do these things. Now, why? Why? Why does any of that exist? Why is any of that relevant? Why do we open our Bibles? Why come to church on a Sunday? Why listen to a sermon? Why pray? Why exhort? Why rebuke? Why should I or you, why should I submit to leadership? Why should we bother with all this stuff, this church stuff? Why? Here's the why, and here's what I believe Paul is after in Titus. A phrase that appears twice in this last chapter. Verse 8, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. And then again, verse 14, let our people learn to be devoted to good works. Just that phrase, devoted to good works. You see, the gospel, our favorite word, it's not just some incantation, and it's not just a bunch of words or sentences that we piece together and we whisper to people when we feel like it. No, it changes you. It changes the way you live your life. It changes you to the core, to your heart. It changes your allegiances. It changes your purpose, your priorities. You are changed. And so do all these things. Do all these things, Titus, to keep the riffraff out, but also to encourage and exhort Christians so that they can live like Christians. That those who have experienced salvation within would live without like what they are already within. That they can live like they are saved. And so this evening, well, firstly, quite specifically, we find the gospel changes how you relate to authorities. Not only that, but it also changes how you relate to the general public around you. Here's my proposition. Being a citizen of heaven makes you a better citizen of South Africa. So just number one, 2 points this morning. Number one, remind them. Remind them. Verse one, what should Titus remind the church about? Remind them, Titus. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. Remind them to be obedient. Remind them to be ready for every good work. Remind them to speak evil of no one. Remind them to avoid quarreling. To be gentle, to show courtesy to all people. Remind them. Now we must be careful. We must be careful. Be careful, Christian, how you handle these verses. See, the temptation is to say, that's nice, Paul, but you never lived under a corrupt government. Paul, you've never experienced load shedding. Paul, they didn't force you to get vaccinated. Paul, you weren't there when apartheid was at its worst. Paul, you weren't there when the Nazis were murdering Jews for fun. You weren't there when this or that injustice was committed. Paul, your advice is out of date. Be careful, Christian. The world thinks this is out of date. But I must insist that even as Paul told Titus to remind the church in his day, so too the word of God reminds us today, be submissive. Such is the change that the gospel has wrought upon our hearts, that even these things, even how I relate to the world, even in how I submit to an authority that does not know God, even in these things, even in these things. Even in these things, if we were to watch each other's lives, if we were to look closely enough, it ought to be that I no longer walk in the ways of the world, but even in these things I walk in the light, in the way of the Word. The Word, not the world. The Christian life is evidence of the gospel that saved it. The Christian life ought to be evidence of the gospel that has saved it. Now let's be practical with that. Submission. Obedience. Ready for good works. Not speaking evil of anyone. Avoid quarreling. Be gentle. Show courtesy to all people. What does that look like in South Africa? That's the question. There's other verses that apply stuff to the church, inside the church. How I ought to love my brother and sister in Christ. That's great, yes. But these verses quite specifically are pointed out to it. How do I do these things in this country of South Africa? To its authorities, to its government, to all its people, the general public, the citizens. How? What does this look like? When you're in the long line at Home Affairs, we all know the grumblers, the impatient, the entitled. But you and I ought to look different in that long line at Home Affairs. When the traffic cop stops us and wants us to buy them lunch, there's the arguers, there's the resistors, there's the opposite extreme, the people who always keep a note in their wallet just especially for that traffic cop. They couldn't be bothered. But you and I, we are Christians. We have a conscience. And so we see there's sin in this, there's opportunity in this. According to the verse, gentleness, humility. Respect to the authority. And so with respect, I say, I cannot do what is a sin in the eyes of God. I'd rather suffer in this world. I'd rather pay a bigger fine than sin in the eyes of God. And so when we are hated, when we are discredited, when we are maligned, whether it's because of my skin color, whether it's because of the country I was born in, or the tribe or clan that I belong to, or my height, or my gender, or maybe the person who's maligning me just woke up on the wrong side of bed this morning. When these things happen, and they happen all the time in this wonderful country of ours, when they happen, the Christian ought to respond differently. And when my friends have complaints and grumblings on their lips, and when we're sharing a meal together and they're complaining about the government and the potholes and the load shedding, here's an opportunity to pause the conversation and say, you're right, it sucks. But Titus 3 verse 1 and 2 says I should be submissive and obedient and I shouldn't complain. And it says I shouldn't be quarrelsome. And I'm not all that comfortable with this conversation. So here's a thought. Titus 3 verse 1 also says, I should be ready for every good work. And as I heard you complaining, I realized I haven't prayed for the government in a while. I haven't prayed for this country in a while. I realized we could take a spade and go and fill that pothole in the road rather than complain about it. So let's do this good work together. Will you pray with me? Will you fill a pothole with me? See, Christians, we are not perfect. We are not perfect. But we are different. And we want to be different. If our lives look the same as the world, if our conversations are exactly the same as the worldly conversations that people have there, out there, if our worries and concerns are exactly the same as the world's worries and concerns, if we claim to have the hope of eternal life, But the rest of our lives seems completely untouched by the hope of eternal life, then we are clearly missing something. Here's a picture for illustration. A Roman soldier stops a Jew on the road, and by threat of sword says to them, "Carry my bag for me, just 1 mile." And so for 1 mile, they pass that 1 mile in silence. And then they pass the 1 mile mark and they're a bit further. And at first the soldier thinks to himself, this is a stupid Jew who doesn't know what a mile is. He's bad with distances or he doesn't know math. And so they carry on. They carry on walking. And then the soldier looks at the Jew's face. What does he see on the face? It is gentle. It is kind. There is a contentedness to it. It even has a smile upon it. And the Roman soldier, perplexed, asks, "Aren't we supposed to hate each other?" To which the Jew might reply, "My master told me to love my enemies. My master told me to walk 2 miles rather than 1. My master told me that, and then the Apostle Paul also told me to just submit to the authorities." We could go on, but you get the point. How we act, how we react, how we live, it is different. It ought to be different. And when it is different, it testifies to our salvation. Submit. Obey. Be gentle. Show perfect courtesy to all people. I hear that word, it's in our ESV, it's translated courtesy, and it feels light and surfacey. I'll shake your hand, or I'll cover my mouth when I cough. You know, I associate that word with good manners. But there's something deeper here than mere good manners. Be gentle. There's a gentleness to it. Be humble. There's a humility to it. Be meek. There's a meekness in this word. What is Paul's point? I think Paul is addressing the temptation of thinking you're better than other people, thinking you're better than the world. And I mean, that's partially true. If you are in Christ and your neighbor is not in Christ, you're far better off than him. You belong to the kingdom of God. He does not. You are a child of God. He is not. You are promised an inheritance in heaven. He is promised damnation in hell if he continues to not be in Christ. You are infinitely better off. But what does that mean? Let's strut about with chips on our shoulders, thinking we are better off in this world and I'm better than everyone else because I have what they do not have. Let's flaunt our citizenship in heaven with pride and arrogance because I'm going to heaven and they aren't. No, says Paul. Being a citizen of heaven makes you a better citizen of whatever country you are living in. Whatever authority you are under, that authority is served better because you are a Christian. And the people around you, they are served better because you are a Christian. Why? Verse 3. Because we ourselves, we were once foolish, we were disobedient, we were led astray, we were slaves to various passions and pleasures, we were passing our days in malice and envy, we were hated by others and hating one another. That's what we looked like when we were in the world. Go watch the news. Do you see the hate? Spend one day in parliament. Do you see the hate? Look how they act toward each other. Look how the politicians tear each other apart with pettiness and ridicule and vulgarity. Open your phone. Go to your social media. See the hatred that is just spewed out across race, across gender, across nationality. Take a walk outside. See how a Lamborghini or Ferrari just drives past a beggar like they don't exist. The world is broken. Why should I, as a Christian, care about the broken world? Why should I bother with the broken world? Why should I be gentle and kind and courteous and humble to a broken world that clearly doesn't deserve it? Because I myself, because we ourselves, we were once foolish. Because we have not always been a Christian. Because we've had our moments of disobedience and of being led astray. Because we have been, in times gone by, hopefully, we have been slaves to various passions and pleasures, and we've passed our days in malice and envy. And we have hated, and we have been hated. And because of all that gunk and rubbish and dirt and sinfulness and wretchedness, because I know what it feels like to be weighed down, Now I know, verse 4, what it feels like for the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior to appear in Jesus Christ. Last week it was Jesus Christ, the epiphany of grace. This week, Jesus Christ, the epiphany of God's goodness and loving kindness towards us. He has appeared. He saved us, not because of works done by righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's in Titus. Ephesians 2, we read it last week. Dead in the trespasses of our own sins, following the course of this world, slaves to the flesh and the desires of our bodies, by nature children of wrath, but God, rich in mercy, even when we were dead, He made us alive with Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved through faith, but not of your own doing, so no man may boast, by grace. Apostle Charles read it earlier this evening, 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God, nor the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers? None of the above will see heaven. And such were some of you. You were also in that list. I was also in that list. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You see, even the world loves those who love them. Even the world does good to those who do good back to them. Even the world lends to those who the world thinks will pay it back. Even sinners lend to sinners. Even a sinner would submit to the authorities under the right circumstances. But Christian, you are different. You love your enemies. You do good. You lend and you expect nothing back. You submit. You obey. And you are a Christian in a broken world, not because the world deserves it, not because you expect to get anything back, but you do it because your Father in heaven was merciful to you first. Titus, remind the believers of this. They ought to be submissive to rulers and authorities. Submit. Be obedient. Be ready for every good work. Speak evil of no one. Avoid quarreling. Be gentle. Show perfect courtesy to all people. Why? Because in C.S. Lewis's words, God has paid us the intolerable compliment of loving us. And the deepest, most tragic, most inexorable sense, Christian, has God loved you? Has God loved you? If God has loved you, then will you, in obedience to God's word, live out of you what God has already worked into you? Remind them, Titus. And when you're done reminding them, Titus, verse 8, Titus, I want you to know, this is a trustworthy saying, and so because this is a trustworthy saying, I want you to insist on it. I must insist that you insist to them, insist on these things. Why? So that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for all people. Insist on these things. Why? Remind and insist so that at the end of the day, the Christian will devote themselves to good works. Or rather, that at the beginning of the day, each Christian every day would take up their cross and follow Jesus. And so the same way that your grade 2 teacher reminded you to do your times tables, and you're supposed to do your homework, but you came back to class clueless and you didn't know what 7 times 7 was. And then not only did your teacher remind you, then they insisted on it. That the first 10 minutes of class, we're going to go through our timetables until you get to 7 times 7 equals 49. Remind them. Insist on it. Teach, Titus, preach. Get elders who are firm in the word of God, and then make sure that God's people are taught. And then when they've been taught, make sure that you remind them of what you have taught them. And when you have reminded them what you have taught them, make sure that you insist on the things that you have taught them. Why? Because they are prone to wonder. Because they walk out of church and they are faced with temptation after temptation. Because for every godly solution that the Bible offers them, there are 100 other solutions that TikTok offers them. Why? Because the Christian life is hard. Because it takes guts and it takes sacrifice. Because the world will oppose you at every turn. And the world will try its best to either make your life so hard that you give up, or they'll just try and convince you to do it the world's way so that your life will be easy. May I remind you and insist to you tonight that you ought to be living your Christian life with careful devotion. The same care that you would put into your career, the same care that you would put into who you marry, the same care you put into having food on the table or a roof over your head. not even the same care, but a greater care, a greater care, a greater duty, a greater responsibility with careful devotion. More care than you put into any other thing or person or pursuit in your life. With careful devotion, live your life for the glory of God. With careful devotion, take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. With care. Not spontaneously when you feel like it. Not recklessly or rashly, just by your emotions. Not nonchalantly like you're taking a walk in the park, but with care. With care. Be devoted to good works. With care, O Christian, live out your Christianness unto a broken world with care. With care. And while you are doing so, verse 9, but avoid foolish controversies. Don't bother with genealogies. It doesn't matter who your ancestor is. Or dissensions. Or quarreling over the law. These things are unprofitable. They don't build anyone up. They don't build the church up. They don't build the country up. These things are worthless. These things cause division. People who are like that, it's a harsh action that Paul instructs Titus to take. People who are like that, warn them once, warn them twice. But after that, don't be sucked in. Rather, just have nothing more to do with them. Such a person, they are warped, they are sinful, he is self-condemned. Avoid such things. But you, avoid such things, but you have been saved from such things. You who once walked in the world, you who have been saved by the blood of Jesus, you who are heirs according to the hope of eternal life, you devote yourself to good works. Devote yourself not to earn a spot in heaven, but just to live outwardly as you have been changed inwardly. Paul has a great concern that Christians would live out their faith. And so just in closing, I'm just going to read the last few verses, verse 12 to 15. When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works, so as to help cases of urgent need and not to be unfruitful. All who are with me, send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace with you all. Grace be with you all. Let us pray. Oh Lord, I pray that not by the multitude of my words, but by the truth of your word, help us in these things. Guard us against unfruitfulness. Guard us against sitting contentedly on our bums just because I have my ticket to heaven in my back pocket. Oh Lord, if indeed we belong to Christ, then may we live that out. May we live it out with careful devotion. May we live it out day by day, minute by minute. Not to earn my place in heaven, but as a worshipful response to the God who gave his Son on the cross for my sins that I can live. So, Lord, may we live. May we live for you and you alone. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.